Good morning. Good afternoon. I don't know what it is. Good food. How about that one? That'd be worth. Yeah, that's great. We're going to be talking during the noon hours about three individuals that really never lived. Three individuals that never existed. Three individuals that you would say would be the figment of one's imagination. Actually, there are three characters in a story, an illustration that Jesus Himself told. But I'll guarantee you, you have studied and you have heard about this illustration before. I'm going to give you three words and then I want you to finish it. This is the parable of, maybe four words, parable of the prodigal son. So you have heard about it. That's just a story that Jesus told. Do what? Luke 15. That's just a story that Jesus told. And what we're going to do in our time together, I'd like to read the story every day at lunch. And then we will do two things after reading the story. We will examine the story carefully. We will then extract from the story one of the three key characters and see if we can't learn something for our lives today from what Jesus was saying in the story. Today I'd like for us to read the story and then after doing so, look at the story and break it down. It has three particular scenes. Tomorrow, and then we will have to look at one person in the story. Tomorrow we'll read the story and we will look at the setting. We'll look at what's going on in the background and why Jesus told this story. And look at a second character and some lessons we can learn from him. Then on Wednesday, we will read the story and we will look at the significance of the story and what it is really saying. What's the punchline? Why did Jesus tell it? And we will examine one more character in the story and some lessons we can learn from his life. You ready? Let's read the story. Luke chapter 15. Beginning with verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions in prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you've never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now, in reality, that's one of three stories that Jesus told on this occasion. In fact, it's the third of the three. As you look at the three stories, he tells the story of a lost sheep. He tells the story of a lost piece of silver. And then he tells the story about this lost son. Now, having read the story, here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. First of all, we're going to look at the story itself, and we're going to break it down. We're going to look at the scenes of the story. And then we're going to flip the coin and direct our attention to one of the key characters in the story and see some lessons we can learn from that one character's life. As we break down the story, we see that it falls into three different scenes. And we're going to use one word to summarize each scene. Here is scene number one. We will call scene number one the consumer. And you read about the consumer, that would be the younger son, whom we usually call the prodigal. You read about the consumer in verses 11 through 18. And this is where the consumer, or the prodigal son, comes and demands his inheritance, goes to a foreign country. He wastes his inheritance, ends up in a pigsty, comes to himself, and returns home with a prepared speech that says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." That's the consumer. That is scene one. Now we come to scene number two. We're going to call scene number two the compassionate. Scene number two directs our attention not to the prodigal, the son, but rather to the prodigal's father and to the compassion that the father had for a son that had been away so long. And we're actually going to talk about the compassionate, the father, as we come together for lunch tomorrow. And we'll see some things from the prodigal, the father, that we need to invite into our lives. Scene number three. By the way, scene number one, the compassionate, you find in verses 19 through 24. And those are the verses where the father sees his prodigal son from afar off, runs to him, falls on his neck, kisses him, and then clothes him with the robe, with the ring, with the sandals, and prepares a great welcome home feast. That brings us to scene number three. Scene number three we will call the critic. And who is this one about? The older brother. And scene number three we call the critic. You read about in verses 24 through 32. And this is where the older brother is coming in from a hard day's work at the field, and he hears all the commotion going on. There's a celebration on the inside. He doesn't go in himself. He inquires as to the goings on. He's told there's a feast. There's a celebration. Your brother's come home, and your daddy is celebrating. And he gets stark raving mad. He won't go in. His daddy comes out. And his daddy begins to calm the waters and explains why he did what he did. But even the explanation wasn't satisfactory to the older brother, the critic. And he had some very hard, harsh things to say about his younger brother, the prodigal, the consumer. And so on Wednesday, we're going to come back and direct our attention to the critic and to some lessons that we need to invite into our lives from a study of that character in the story. Now, I'm ready to test your memory. You can say together, uh-oh. One, two, three. You ready? One, two, three. Okay. How many scenes are in the story?
Three.
Ah, great, you're listening. Scene number one is called, and they all start with C. Did you see that? All right. So I'm trying to help you. Scene number one is called the
consumer.
You were listening. Scene number two is called the great. You went to sleep then, didn't you? Scene number three is called the
great.
There you go. Now you have a breakdown of the story we call the prodigal son. Now we're going to direct our attention for the next few minutes to the first of those three characters and scene number one, the consumer. The individual in the story, the younger son, whom we usually call the prodigal son, who lived for whom? He lived for himself. Ladies and gentlemen, as you study the parable of the prodigal son and you think about the first of these three characters, you have a character study in what it means to be selfish. Now, I want you to see from this young man's life in the story what selfishness will do. And then we're going to step back and close with two passages of Scripture that encourage us not to be selfish and teach us how to step away from self. As we focus on scene number one, the consumer, we see a young man that was very selfish. Here are three things that selfishness will do. Number one, if you are selfish, you will mistreat other people. In point of fact, when you are selfish, you are more inclined to mistreat those that are the closest to you. I want you to see in the story what this young man in his selfishness did to his father. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me." You see the selfishness there? I've read before where it says there was a generation that says, "Give me liberty or give me death." Then came the generation that said, "Give me liberty." And we now live in the generation that simply says, "Give me." That was the motto of this young man. "Father, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me." He's asking his father for his inheritance. Now, if you were to do some detailed Bible study and went back to Old Testament times, by the way, Jesus lived under the Old Testament law, correct? So if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, you would find that in Old Testament times, the older brother got a double portion of the father's inheritance. And so this boy is coming to his daddy and he's saying in the story, "Now, whatever's mine, I want." There are how many sons?
Two.
And so as you break it down, the oldest son got 2/3 of his daddy's estate. And the youngest son got 1/3 of his daddy's estate. And so the boy comes and he says, "Daddy, I want my inheritance." That's the equivalent of this boy coming to his daddy and saying, "1/3 of everything that is yours, I want. It's coming to me and I want it right now." Do you know what that means this boy did to his daddy? He treated his daddy like he was a dead man already. Now, I had 3 sons. I now have 2 sons. And they are adults. One's 43, I think. It's hard to keep up nowadays. I barely keep up with mine. One's 43 and the other's 37. And if either one of them came to me and said, "Daddy, I want what's coming to me," I would say, "Stand back, son, and get ready. It's coming your way." And he'd get it. This young man treated his daddy like he was a dead man. Folks, when you're selfish, you mistreat others. And by and large, you can mistreat those that are the closest. How many wives live in abusive settings because they live with selfish husbands? How many mothers and daddies spend untold sleepless nights because they live in a house with teenagers that in their selfishness are satisfying fleshly desires? How many elderships bemoan the fact that some of the people that they're trying to get to heaven and love so dearly are treating them like dirt under their fingernails? How many preachers contemplate moving from great works where there's still so much to do, because the people they're trying to get to heaven are mistreating them as preachers, and yes, treating them like nothing better than roadkill? When you're selfish, you mistreat people, and yes, you even mistreat the people that are the closest to you. That's one lesson we can learn from this young man. Now let's keep reading. "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So, verse 12 says, he, the daddy, divided to whom? If you're looking on your iOS device or in your Bible, the daddy or father divided to whom his livelihood? To them. You see, what the first son requested impacted the life of the second son, right then and there. And that's the second lesson I need to learn about selfishness. When I act out my selfishness, there are consequences that will flow into the lives of other people. When I'm selfish, I am going to make consequences I have to deal with, correct? Every decision you make brings with it a consequence. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever. Let me paraphrase that. Any decision you make. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Every decision you make will bring into your life a consequence. By and large, Good decisions bring good consequences. Bad decisions invite difficult consequences into life. But here's an adjunct to that. Not only will my selfish decisions invite difficult consequences into my life, when I make a selfish decision, that will bring consequences into the lives of other people. We're social beings, am I right? We interact with each other. Our lives are intertwined. We influence one another for good or for bad. And so when you make a decision and we have a relationship, the consequence of your decision is going to result in a consequence that I have to deal with. And so when an individual is selfish and makes a decision, the decision, if it's a bad one, can mistreat others. And the decision can invite consequences into the lives of others and not just self. But a decision is made anyway. Why? Because selfishness. That gives me 5 minutes. Lesson number 3. When I'm selfish, I hurt and mistreat others, especially those closest to me. Number 2, when I'm selfish, I invite consequences into the lives of others. And number 3, when I'm selfish, I hurt myself. Where did this guy end up? Well, first of all, he lost all of his money. Second, he lost all of his security. Third, he lost all of his friends. Fourth, he lost all of his dignity and ended up in a pigsty, slopping hogs. And for a Jew, that's not a high water mark. He fed unclean animals to him religiously. And so in a loss of dignity, he comes to himself and he creates this speech that he's going to give to his daddy. He says, "In my father's house, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say..." And so now he creates this memorized speech. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Tomorrow, we're going to come back, and I'm going to have Dan or Josh or David to read that memorized speech. And then I'm going to ask you to see what the father said in response. But on this occasion, the boy's selfishness hurt him. Two passages to close with. "If any man will come unto me, let him do what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me." The word Jesus used for deny is the same word the Holy Spirit used for what Peter did to Jesus when he denied him 3 times. He disavowed any connection with Jesus. "If anyone will come unto me, let him disavow any connection with what he wants. Take up his cross and follow me." You can't be selfish and be a follower of Jesus. So go home and for the second passage, spend some time with Philippians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 2 and go through verse 8 and learn from the selfless ways of Jesus. And be blessed. Brother Dan.